Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. The Room is a 2003 independent romantic drama film starring Tommy Wiseau, who also wrote, directed, and produced the feature using his own money. The Room is also completely ridiculous, with characters who show up and disappear without any conventional attention to their development, ludicrously unnatural dialogue, and footage reused, obviously, in more than one scene. Called the Citizen Kane of bad movies by Entertainment Weekly, and originally shown only in a limited number of California movie theaters, the film quickly developed a cult following as fans found humor in the strange script.
Oh man, I just can't figure women out. Sometimes they're just too smart. Sometimes they're flat out stupid. Other times they're just evil.
It seems to me like you're an expert, Mark.
No, definitely not an expert, Johnny.
Disjointed scenes that change mood on a dime.
I did not hit her. It's not true. It's both. I did not hit her. I did not. Oh, hi, Mark.
Oh, hey, Johnny. What's up?
I have a problem with Lisa. She said that I hit her.
What? Well, did you?
No, it's not true. Don't even ask. What's new with you?
And total general over-the-topness.
I'm tired. I'm wasted. I love you, darling.
The film is shown often, frequently at midnight, a la Rocky Horror Picture Show, and boasts many celebrity fans. It's a joke in that culturally confusing way where it's not entirely a joke. It's bad, but people love it sincerely, talk about it a lot, and if they have a copy of the DVD, you're their friend and you've never seen it, you're watching The Room with them sometime. Greg Sestero plays Mark, the best friend of Tommy Wiseau's main character, Johnny, in The Room. Greg will be at the Linda in Albany, New York this Saturday at 8 p.m. to read from his new book, The Disaster Artist, My Life Inside the Room, to show a short documentary about the making of the film, he hopes to make a longer doc soon, and to act out some scenes from Tommy Wiseau's original script with members of the audience. Greg Sestero, welcome to the Roundtable.
Glad to be here.
I know that you've talked about a lot of the things we're going to talk about a lot over the last 15 years, but so that listeners who aren't familiar with your story and maybe not familiar with The Room, please tell us how you first met Tommy Wiseau.
I was a 19-year-old aspiring actor in San Francisco. I was at that point in your life where you just have no idea where you're going and you're looking for an answer. And it's in a basement acting class, and I watched this kind of vampire-ish-looking man perform a Shakespearean sonnet. And it turned out even weirder than you can imagine. Something about watching this different man perform ignited something, and I felt like I wanted to get to know who he was. I wanted to learn some of that fearlessness he had, because he wasn't scared or intimidated by the class or the teacher, and I felt like I was. So it propelled me to begin this very odd friendship of, you know, these two polar opposites, and here we are 15 years later, you know, having done a movie that still shows around the world. It's kind of surprising.
It is very. Do you feel, would you ever say confidently, that you now understand Tommy Wiseau, that you could tell 19-year-old you what his deal is, or is he still sort of an enigma?
I think I could get a pretty good account across, but that's what's interesting about Tommy, is that you never really quite know who he is.
And how did you first learn about The Room, and then tell us the sort of complicated and convoluted path to your co-starring in the movie?
He had disappeared for a while when I'd known him, and he had worked on the script. It was his vehicle, his vision to become the next Marlon Brando, and he really wanted me to be a part of it. I had read the script and thought it was laugh out loud funny for very different reasons than I think he intended, but the night before filming, he made me an offer I couldn't refuse. I was a 24-year-old, you know, aspiring, struggling actor, and I made it thinking nobody would see it.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, I was wrong.
When you say he wanted to work with you, how did he make that evident to you? I mean, he made you the offer of quite a bit of money to make the movie, but how does he express to you that he wants you around? How do you know that Tommy Wiseau likes you?
I think, The Room was very much a personal story, and I think during that point in his life, I was, you know, his close friend that I think he could relate to, and I think that's why it was important, because that role was written for me, and I feel like it was something that meant a lot to him, and he wanted it to be as true as life as possible. So you could say I got weirdly lucky.
You mentioned that as you were making the movie, you didn't think anybody would see it. And of course, many, many people have now. What did you think would happen to it when you were making it? That it would just disappear completely?
Yeah, I mean, I think like a lot of movies out there that are actually even really good that go to Sundance and go to festivals and just never see the light of day for whatever reason. So I figured with this one, you know, being created by one person that had no inside connection to any sort of distribution or theaters or anything, that it would easily just sit on a shelf. And it just goes to show the power of, I guess, believing yourself and not taking no for an answer.
During the filming of the movie, there were cast members and crew members who were frequently fired and replaced. Was that stressful? Was working on the movie stressful? Were you ever worried that you would be let go or get into a real argument with Tommy?
No, I mean, it was pretty exhausting, but I knew how to handle the situation. I felt like I was the one person who kind of understood what Tommy was trying to do. I know some people on set were saying, God, I hope he'd fire me. But I just was trying to stay the course and help him make his movie.
Your new book, The Disaster Artist, My Life Inside the Room, is co-written by journalist Tom Bissell. How did you meet and begin working with him? And what knowledge of the room did he come to the table with?
Tom wrote a terrific article in Harper's Magazine back in 2010 about the room. And I really, I liked the stance he took in his article, not really just belaboring a bad movie, but kind of getting to the root of who this character is and what drives him. And that's really what I wanted this book to be about. And I wanted to work with somebody, obviously, that knew the movie and could understand, to be able to please fans, but also tell this kind of Gatsby-ish story about this strange man, this strange friendship. So I felt like he was in tune with what the story I was trying to tell.
And how did you and Tom work together to create the book?
I sat down and just kind of wrote out these stories and formed them kind of into a structure base of, chronology of going back and forth between friendship and the making of the movie and how they played off each other. And then we sat down and recorded all those chapters and reading them aloud. And he would ask questions and kind of intersect. And then he took those and, you know, put his take on it and wrote those out. And then we kind of went back and forth for quite a while, cutting and reframing and rewriting. So it was quite a process. It's a lot more challenging than I expected, but it was, you know, at the same time very rewarding when you finally had a finished book.
Had you written anything before?
I've always been interested in writing. I'd written a screenplay when I was young and just kind of dabbled in things here and there, but this was my first book, and really the way I went about it is just grabbing as many books as possible of a story that shared a similar vein and just read and read and read. I read around 100 books to kind of get in the mind frame of being able to craft the story into something that was rich and inspiring, that involved kind of other backdrops of stories of movie making and strangeness.
Have your co-stars read the book?
I believe so, yeah. I had a copy sent to all of them, and they seem to really enjoy it. So that's always good.
And Mr. Wiseau himself calls it the Red Bible.
I don't know how to take that.
I don't either.
I guess it's like anything with Mr. Wiseau, you just got to roll with it.
Your book is going to be adapted into a movie by James Franco?
Yeah, it's James Franco and
Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg.
Yeah, and they, I think they're really great actors, great filmmakers. They've been able to tap into, a lot of different generations of audiences that love their work. So I feel like this is a great fit for them to adapt it.
It's obviously very early in the process, but do you know if you'll be involved in the adaptation at all?
I mean, I'm sure that, you know, I'm here to help with whatever you know, whatever information they need and stuff. But I think they're, you know, I think what's great is to pass along, you know, your vision and kind of give them the freedom to have fun and, you know, put their spin on it. So, you know, obviously going to be here for whatever they need.
Do you ever get tired of talking about the room?
I don't know if I would say, tired. I mean, it's definitely been more exciting to talk about something new, you know, with the book and kind of the story behind it. I think to me was always more interesting. I mean, the movie is obviously funny and it's easy to laugh at, but I felt like the story behind the movie was a compelling drama in its own. I felt like that was what always intrigued me. So being able to talk more about the personal story and that stuff is definitely more entertaining. But at the same time, I'm a movie fan, so I know if people, they love the film, much like I love Back to the Future, Star Wars, you're always going to have questions. So I always do my best to answer those.
The film is a national and international cult phenomenon, which of course means it has very enthusiastic, potentially odd, potentially aggressive fans. At the screenings and events you attend, have you had any truly bizarre experiences, or has it mostly been respectful?
I think what's great about these screenings is everyone's just there to have a good time and laugh, and I think they're really appreciative that, you know, you show up and that you embrace the film and have a good sense of humor about it. So everyone's really cool. I mean, I've been asked to sign a bunch of weird things, but other than that, everyone is very jovial and, you know, they make it a really good time.
At the Linda on Saturday, you're going to read from the book, show a short documentary you have about the making of The Room, and do a scene that involves audience participation. What do you think that will be like? Have you been doing the scene thing at other events you've been doing?
Yeah, the Room's original script is something that is really a goldmine. It's Tommy's first draft of the film. A lot of, you know, most of that stuff isn't in the movie, but it's so incredibly funny, and so it's great to have audience members come up and kind of be a part of it. And that's been my favorite thing of, you know, going on this book tour, is having interacting with fans and having giving them a chance to read the script.
Greg Sestero will be at the Linda in Albany, New York on Saturday, March 1st at 8 p.m. Greg, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Once again, Greg will be at the Linda in Albany, New York this Saturday, March 1st at 8 p.m., thelinda.org for ticket information. The title of Greg Sestero's book is The Disaster Artist, My Life Inside the Room. It is co-written by Tom Bissell and published by Simon & Schuster.
It's not over. Everybody betrayed me. I fed up with this world.
I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.